Welcome to Capital Baptist Church and welcome to our brand new teaching series entitled, Yay Marriage, Connecting Through Love and Respect. Please take your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And today we're going to be talking about the secret to a better marriage. The secret to a better marriage. And we're going to be looking today in our theme verse for this campaign, this Yay Marriage Spiritual Growth Campaign. And that key verse is Ephesians 5, verse number 33. And I want to welcome you here today. And if you're listening online right now, we also want to welcome you. And whether you're in the auditorium, in your program is a study guide. You can take that out. Or if you're listening online, you can download the study guide. Either way, I hope that you'll have the study guide near you because I'm certainly going to say some things you want to jot down and remember. And then also there's some blanks that you can fill in with the study guide. And so, again, thank you for joining with us today. Today, as I said, we're going to talk about the secret to a better marriage. The secret to a better marriage. Before we get to that, I want to look in the introduction where I write this. Yay, marriage. Let's celebrate marriage together. Yay, marriage. Let's celebrate marriage together. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you heard anybody talk about marriage in a positive way? I mean, when was the last time the media, the culture around us promoted marriage in a positive way? I tell you, you probably got to think long and hard before that's ever going to come to your mind. The culture around us today is doing everything it can to destroy marriage. The culture around us is seeking to redefine the very essence of marriage and what is a marriage. The culture around us is doing everything it can to promote things that are contrary to the Bible, contrary to the Word of God when it comes to marriage. And I'm telling you today, a lot of people are hopeless about marriage. A lot of people are struggling about marriage. Half of our church, half of our community here in this Washington metro area, it's pretty much 50-50. It's pretty much half unmarried and half married. And a lot of people, you know, I like to say this, I don't like it that it's good, but it's true. I mean, many people that are married want to be unmarried, and many people that are unmarried want to be married. You know what I say to you? Yay, marriage. I'm tired. I'm sick of it, to be honest with you. I'm tired of the negativity about marriage. You know, God's plan works. God's definition of marriage is right. It's correct. And really what we need to understand is Proverbs 5:18 says, "Let thy fountain be blessed." Did you circle the word blessed? And rejoice, would you circle the word rejoice, with the wife of thy youth? Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Marriage is to be a blessing. Marriage is to be a rejoicing, the Bible tells us. Hebrews 13:4 tells us that marriage is something that's honorable. Would you circle the word honorable? It's honorable in all. And the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and idolaters, God will judge. You see, that's what God thinks of marriage. God thinks of marriage as something that's a blessing. God thinks of marriage as something that's a rejoicing. God thinks of marriage as something that is honoring. Blessed, rejoice, honorable. God says, yay, marriage. God says, let's celebrate marriage together. And that's what we're going to be doing during this series of messages. Now listen, every marriage struggles at some point. Do you understand that? Every single marriage struggles at some point. Why? This is just a partial list. You got a blend of what? Personalities, don't you? We're all different. We have different personalities. And then you try to blend them together and you have problems. Second thing is history. Every one of us have a history. Every one of us have different backgrounds. We bring different baggage into the marriage. We bring different baggage into the relationships. We all have a history. You've never met anybody and tried to have a relationship with them that they didn't have a history before they met you. And that history has influenced them and shaped them into who they are today. I often think as I go up and down this community, behind every door, there's a story. Behind every door, there's a story. There's a history. There's a history. There's a history behind your doors. And then, listen, there are circumstances. We all have distinctive circumstances. Different things we've gone through, different situations, different things we've encountered in life. We bring into it a whole unique set of circumstances. And then problems. You know, we get married and we got problems, but the problem is we brought problems into the marriage. We had problems before we ever got that relationship with whoever it might be, in marriage or outside of marriage. Every marriage, every relationship struggles at some point. This teaching series will show you how to enjoy. I didn't say endure, I said enjoy. How to enjoy your marriage and all relationships. I promise you, I mean, we're focusing in our wording a lot on marriage, but I pretty much can tell you 90% of the time when I say the word marriage, you can pretty much put relationship. I mean, we're going to talk about communication. You got to learn how to communicate with everybody. We're going to talk about conflict. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about all kinds of things that all of us have to live with every single day of our lives. This is going to help you in all your relationships. Because really it's about understanding men and women. Men and women. It's, if you really want to look at this, it's really the take-home piece when we're done is a better understanding men and women. And how God wired us and how God made us. And listen, we're going to be talking about this, about enjoying your marriage and all relationships through the love and respect connection. We're going to talk about how it's love and respect that really connect us, that really bring us together as men and women. This love and respect connection. Now today, as I said, we're going to talk about the secret to a better marriage. I'm not going to read the other topics. They're there for you to see yourself. I will just say next Sunday, we're going to talk about finding the love of your life. And then we'll continue through that list there. So I say welcome. And I thank you for being here for our first message in this teaching series. Now today we're going to talk about the secret to a better marriage, or the secret to better relationships. And the truth is, it's really not a secret. It's really not a secret. It's revealed right here in Ephesians 5, verse number 33. Ephesians 5, verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband." The secret to a better marriage, the secret to better relationships, I believe with all my heart, is right here in Ephesians 5, verse 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you," let every one of us, "in particular, so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she respects her husband." Now the Bible tells us, and really that's all we need. But I will add to this the fact that I personally have experienced the truth of this in my own life. I personally experienced the fact that the secret to a better marriage is when I love my wife even as myself. And when my wife respects me as her husband. I can testify to this as a pastor. I've been pastoring this church for 28 years and 51 weeks. Next Sunday will be 29 years. Lots of people. Lots of people. People talk to me about marriage stuff all the time. I was in the radio station doing a tape, and 3 out of 3 people talked to me about marriage. 2 of them were divorced, and 1 of them was separated. Asking me, hey, you know, I need to hear this. You know, probably almost every day of my life, people talk to me about marriage. I know a lot about marriage. And I'm telling you, this is true. This is the secret to a better marriage. This is the secret to better relationships. Now, let's boil it down to this statement. The secret to a better marriage is the love and respect connection. The secret to a better marriage is the love and respect connection. Now, behind me and on the material you'll be given is our, if you will, logo or image or however you want to look at it. Now, at the core of this thing is the yay marriage, because this is the sweet spot. This is what we're aiming for. This is what we're after. That all of us would have yay marriage, that all of us would have yay relationships in our lives. Okay? That's what we're seeking to accomplish. Now, Ephesians 5, verse 33 says, "So love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she respects her husband." So love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, basically what we're going to see is this is a connection. Okay? That this is a connection that people are making with each other. Okay? And so basically you have this circle here. This represents connection. Connection. Now you got a male and a female. A male and a female. They both have gone through the Lose and Live program, and I'm very impressed with them. Okay? This guy here weighed over 350 pounds before he got Lose and Live. Okay? And she weighed about 492. Okay? But anyway, okay? So basically on this guy here, you got the word respect. You see that? Respect. On this lady here, you got the word love. And this right here is what we got to understand about each other. The Bible says, love his wife. Love his wife. That's her primary need. The Bible says, the wife see that she respects her husband. Respects her husband. Why? Because that's his primary need. And what we're going to say today is this is a connection. That his love is to be provided regardless of her respect, and her respect is to be provided regardless of his love. His love. And this here is the secret to yay marriage. This is the secret to marriage be something where we can rejoice together. This is the key for us to be able to relate properly together. Now, they want to answer 3 different questions related to this. 3 different questions related to the secret to a better marriage, and specifically about the love and respect connection. First question I want to answer is, what is the love and respect connection? Second question is this, why is the love and respect connection important? And the third question is, who should first make the love and respect connection? Now, before we get into that, every week we're going to be having people join me here up on the stage. We're going to have unmarried folks. We're going to have married folks. And we're going to talk together. And we're going to learn together. And today, Liz is going to come along with her husband, Darren. Darren and Liz are going to come. Let's welcome them as they come. Let's give them a hand, okay? And they're going to be sharing with us a little bit about their relationship and about what they deal with in their marriage. And they're going to tell us some of the challenges they're facing in their relationship. Now, every relationship's unique. And one of the most unusual thing about their relationship is they're both physicians. They're both medical doctors. So, you know, at least in the world I run in, that's kind of rare to meet both a husband and a wife that are doctors. I'm sure there's plenty of them out there that I don't know. But that has its own uniqueness to it right there, doesn't it? So basically, we want to talk to them and kind of better understand their life and the things that they're dealing with in their life. So this is Darren and this is Liz. Let's give them another hand, okay? Now, how long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 18 years.
They've been married 18 years. No doubt 15 of the greatest years of their lives. Okay. No doubt about it. They've been married 18 years. I'm sure it's been 15 of the greatest years of their lives. Okay. And, basically, that's a long time. I mean, if you can make it past year 7, you're probably going to make it, by the way. Years 5 through 7. That's when you got the babies, the bills, the boo-boos, the problems, the difficulties, the mess-ups, the hang-ups. All that stuff happens, okay? And most marriages, the graveyard of marriages is years 5 through 7. Years 5 through 7. So I think you guys are going to make it. Doesn't mean you'll make it for sure, okay? But you got a better chance than some people. Okay, so basically what we want to talk about is this love and respect connection. And first of all, I want to ask you this. How did you guys meet each other?
We met during a military training. So we both were civilians and we were to be enrolled into a military medical school. And so before we do that, we actually go down to Texas and we do like a mini basic training type of thing. We do follow-on training at the school, and the school is called Uniformed Services University. And so that's where we met. We were actually both Bs. So I'm Veroni and she's Bourbono. And they group just like school. They group you together in alphabetical order. And so we had friends that were similar last names of Bs, and we were all kind of a big group that hung out together. We were in Texas. We went out to eat together, had fun together, kind of stuff.
So this is a big learning, the workplace. That's where a lot of people meet each other. And I'll tell you later on, we're going to talk about how to affair-proof your marriage. And we're going to learn that the biggest place where affairs start is in the workplace. And so relationships start there a lot of times. So they met each other. If you're just waking up now, I did not say they had an affair. Okay, just okay. Some of you are like, you heard the word sex and affair. You go, whoo, this is going to be better than I thought. Okay, yeah. But I'm just showing you that a lot of people meet in the workplace. That's a common place for people to get to know each other. So that's where they met. Now, one of the things I found about you guys, which is normal for all of us, is that, you know, you're different from each other. Right? Darren, what do you like? What's your personality?
I can answer that question really easily. So I like to have fun. That's my overriding.
How many of you like to have fun?
Woo! All the fun people have.
So whether it's, you know, changing a baby diaper or, you know, teaching a bunch of teens about God. I mean, I want to have fun. I go to work, I have fun. At home, I try to have fun most of the time. So when I'm hanging those pictures and fixing those toilets, I still try to have fun. But we learned a lot about each other because I know some of you in institutions, they do these kind of personality inventories. And we've looked at a lot of those through different scenarios, jobs and other things. And I'm a yellow personality. That's fun.
Coward. It means coward.
Yellow. Okay. It means everything's like the big smiley face, happy face. That's yellow. So Liz is a little different personality.
What's Liz like?
Well, I'll tell you the other color. The other colors are white, which is very quiet. There's red, which is very... I look at Pastor Steve sometimes when he's up here talking about being a dominant personality, and then he turns red to me because that's red.
Yeah.
And then there's blue. Blue is more, I guess, thoughtful.
So and I don't know about your marriage. In our marriage, we have just the opposite. So see, here's how it works. Opposites attract, and then later on, opposites attack. So the first thing is you're so excited about this person is so different from me. I'm so serious, and they seem to be having so much fun. This person looks like they're having so much fun. I need somebody serious in my life, and this is really great. We're so different. And then you get married, and life starts happening. And all of a sudden, now you start attacking each other. And what you got to do is you got to learn how to complement each other, not compete with each other. You got to learn to make that work because 90% of us will experience that. The opposites, we're attracted to each other. And then you know, we get married, we start attacking each other. So I'm sure you guys have dealt with some of that, right, in your lives?
Yeah.
So, like, as far as carrying out, like, decision making, do you see any of that happening where you parent or jobs or?
I mean, you know, there's lots of times when there's conflict in this kind of opposite relationship. Whenever there's something, whether it's child rearing or finances or whatever, you know, I want to spend the money on fun things. She wants to plan for the future, and there's conflict. And, that's where the conflict comes in. But, I always think of Liz as a blessing from God. You know, I think about Adam. You know, Adam was given woman, you know, man and woman. And, that was the person for Adam. And I think of myself as Adam, and Liz is my Eve. Not that she causes me to sin, but.
I can't.
Maybe that's the other way around. But no, that she's the one for me, and she's a blessing from God. Just as much, you know, Adam was loved by God, and me, I see myself as a man that's loved by God just as much as Adam. And so he gave God gave Adam that one person, and that's Liz. And so I always think about that. And because she is the blessing, whenever she does conflict with me about these things, then I kind of go back and think, you know, why is that? Is it her needs aren't being met? Is it, you know, I'm being reckless? And so, you know, I might not always exactly take everything that she says, but it's always a stop point. It's like, you know, stop right there. Let's talk about this. And more, I think about it and then kind of hear what she has to say. And that's kind of how we've gotten along in a simplistic way.
So how can you respect this fun-loving, irresponsible person there?
He's made it this far.
He's made it so far, so good.
We haven't talked about how he never reconciled the checkbook until we got married. So,
number one, take the checkbook away.
Please.
So there are things. I mean, that is exactly what attracted me to Darren. So even when we were down there, so his fun-loving nature and everything. But and he respects that there are times when we do need to stop and focus. Do things, and we will get to when we compromise. If we do things first, then we'll get to having the fun. I have to talk to
my kids. If you eat the meal, you can have the dessert.
That's good. So if I have time, well, quick example of this is Friday night. You know, I get home from work. I want to go out to eat or do something fun. But of course, the house is a mess. So I know that. So I call the kids before I get home, and I say, "Look, if you make the house look clean, your mom will get home and feel kind of taken care of, and then we'll actually want to go out to eat." So if the house is a mess, she's going to say, "No, we have to clean up." So they kind of put things away and did like a superficial cleaning. She got home, and she said, "Wow, it kind of looks nice then, around here." What happened? And then we got to go have fun. So.
All right. Okay. Let's give my hand. Thank you. All right, very good. You see, you're going to learn from the folks that come up here. And so if you're interested in helping us with this, we'd love to have you participate. And so let me know if you're interested in being part of our testimony time. Okay, let's go through these three questions. Number one, what is the love and respect connection? What is it? Well, it's two very important things for you to know about what it is. Number one, it is a commandment. It is a commandment. God's word is clear. God tells us by commandment that a husband's to love his wife and the wife is to respect her husband. It is a commandment. In Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, "This book," would you circle the word book? "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." Would you circle the word do? "Do according to all." Would you circle the word all? "According to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have," listen, "good success." Circle the word success. I ask you to circle four words. I ask you to circle the word book. I ask you to circle the word do. I ask you to circle the word all. And I ask you to circle the word success. Now, God's word tells us here what it takes to be successful. In fact, only one time in the whole Bible is the word success used. This special word, success, only occurs one time in the Bible, and it's right here. God's word tells us what it takes to be successful in Joshua 1, verse 8. Now, notice what it takes to be a success. And specifically today, what does it take to be a success in our relationships? Well, first of all, we got to realize that God has given us a book. And that book is called the Bible. God has given us His Word. Now, with that, you got to understand that God was the one that created marriage. It was His idea. It wasn't Dr. Phil's idea. It wasn't anybody else's idea. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't your idea. It was God's idea. And God didn't just leave us out here not knowing what we should do. He gave us a book. It's an instruction manual. It's a book. It's God's Word. It tells us how to be successful in life, including our marriages. Now, what we have to do is we have to meditate in it, meaning we have to study it. Now, the reason we're going to study it is so we can do it. That's the second word I had you circle, do. You meditate in it to do it. In other words, it's not just enough to get information. There's got to be application. Information is not enough. There's got to be application. It's the doing of the Word that's going to change your marriage. It's the doing of your Word that's going to change your relationships. The third word I had you circle is the word all. All. The weakest link in your marriage, the weakest link in your relationships is going to be the area where you're disobedient. Where you, for whatever reason, refuse to do all. Where you refuse to do what the Word of God teaches. And if you want an 80% successful marriage, just do 80% of the Bible, because that's exactly what you'll get. But if you want a 100% successful marriage, do the Word of God. And then that leads, the last word, to success. To success. It is a commandment. Psalm 1:1 tells us, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Listen, you need to be very careful who you listen to. You better be very, very, very careful where you get counsel from. If you're struggling in your relationships, in your marriage, and you need to seek out counseling, you need to be very, very careful where you receive that counsel. God tells us if you want to be blessed, if you want to be blessed in your marriage, you can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You can't follow the advice of ungodly teaching. Because the Bible says what we have to do is we have to delight in the law of the Lord. And we have to meditate in it day and night. And the Bible says if we'll do that, we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And we will be prosperous. But the Bible says in verse 4, if we're ungodly, listen, if we're not listening to the Word of God, our marriages, our relationships are going to be like the chaff which the wind driveth away. First of all, we got to know it is a commandment. God has commanded us to do this. God has commanded the husband to love his wife. God has commanded the wife to respect her husband. Secondly, we need to understand that it is unconditional. It is unconditional. That's why in the love and respect connection, we have the word regardless. 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 His love, regardless of her respect. Her respect, regardless of his love. This idea of I'll meet you halfway is no way. Okay? It doesn't work. Marriage is not some contract that you enter into with somebody. You do your part, I'll do my part. It's a covenant relationship that you make with Almighty God. And you need to understand that God is expecting you to do your part, whether your spouse ever does their part. You don't have an out. And a lot of you are sitting here right now, who's going to go first? I'm going to tell you who's going to go first. That's the third part of the message. But I'm telling you, it's not going to work until you both go first. Until you both are willing to obey this. Ephesians 5:25 tells us it's unconditional. It says, husbands, love your wives. And what's the example of the love that we're to provide as husbands for wives? Even as Christ. Even as Christ. Listen, also loved the church and gave himself for it. How did he give himself for us? How did Christ love us? Did he say, okay, you all down there on earth, If you will accept me and if you will do what I tell you to do, I'll leave heaven, I'll come to earth, and I'll suffer and die for your sin. But listen, we got to have a deal before I come. Before I come down there, you're going to have to agree with me that you're going to do what I tell you to do. No. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God showed his love towards us in that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. God showed his love toward us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There were no conditions. There were no conditions that Christ placed on us. He died for you not because or not if. He died for you despite who you were. And then 1 Peter 3, we're going to go back to this passage more than once probably in this study, but I just want to highlight one thing here. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about a wife and her showing respect for her husband. But I want you to notice in this passage, 1 through 6, the context. Look at verse 1, the second line down says, husbands, that if any obey not the word. Husbands, that if any obey not the word. Now, this is written to a wife about subjecting herself to her husband, respecting her husband. And this husband is not godly. This husband is not obedient to the word of God. This husband could be unsaved. This person could be a carnal Christian. This person could be an immature Christian. This person could be an ungodly person. It doesn't matter. And God doesn't say here, ladies, you know, you need to respect your husbands if they obey the word. No, God says twice in this passage, verse 1 and verse 5, two different times, that a wife is to respect her husband, even if that husband, listen, even if that husband is not obeying the word. Is this easy to do? No, it's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do. But let me tell you something that's more difficult. Try 50-50 and see what that gets for you. See how that works out for you. How's it going, by the way? I'm going to love you, you know, when you start respecting me. And I'm going to respect you when you start loving me. How's it going for you? Not good, is it? Not good. Listen, you cannot control your spouse. You can only control you. You need to give up trying to control your husband. You need to give up trying to control your wife. You are a full-time job yourself. In fact, you're going to have to hire some people to help you, okay? Just for you. You're an absolute mess yourself. I can spend all day and all night long, 24/7, 365 days of the year, just learning and doing, loving my wife like Christ loved the church. I have not got time to worry about my wife respecting me. I got all I can do focusing on me. It's an unconditional command. It is regardless. It is regardless. You need to do your part. You need to obey God's word. And do what God has told you to do. Number two, why is the love and respect connection important? Why is the love and respect connection important? Well, here it is. The woman absolutely needs love. And the man absolutely needs respect. Let me say that again. The woman absolutely needs love. And the man absolutely needs respect. This is why it's so important. See, the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now listen, male and female created he them. God created us. And all of us here, you know, men and women, everyone listening today, every one of us are part of the human race. That's true. But in the human race, God made two distinct parts to it. There are males and there are females. We are not the same. He created male and he created female. And we are not the same. God made us differently. Listen, like, remember the genius of the Bible. See, God gives commands for a reason. Do you understand that? God gives commands for a reason. Do you know there's not a single verse in the Bible that commands a wife to love her husband? Show me one. There's not one specific command where it says, wives, love your husband. Titus 2 says that the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. Even that word love is the different word than here. That word is a friendship love. And I think that's good. Older women teaching the younger women how to be friends with their husbands. A lot of men feel like, you love me, you just don't like me. Okay? You just don't like me. And we have to understand there's rationale behind this. There's rationale behind this. Here's the deal. Love is a woman's greatest need. Love is a woman's greatest need. And when women aren't loved, they get depressed. They experience Psalm 42, verse 6. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. And listen, respect is a man's greatest need. Respect is a man's greatest need. Have you ever noticed Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them? Why does it specifically tell husbands not to be bitter against their wives? It doesn't say that about women. It says that about men. And I'll tell you why. Because men who aren't respected get angry. They get angry. And a lot of times they end up being very, very bitter. You see how these work against each other? You got marriages where there's all kinds of angry husbands and depressed wives. And that's the condition of many relationships here listening today. And do you see how this fights against the whole connection? It's hard to love somebody when you're angry at them. It's hard to respect somebody when you're depressed towards them. Now, here's the deal. Now, listen to me. You must trust God to make the love and respect connection. For you to be obedient to this unconditional command is one of the biggest steps of trust you're ever going to take in your life. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, here's the deal. Listen, men and women are different. And it's hard for us to understand each other. It doesn't make sense to us. And for us to be obedient to this is a step of faith. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. See, when it comes to loving my wife, here's how my understanding goes. Okay, I don't understand. We've been married over 31 years. Okay. And Debbie and I, we're going to talk about how we met each other next week. 32 years in December. I don't understand why I have to keep telling that woman how much I love her. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, my deal is, and I tried this early on in marriage, I will let you know if anything changes. Okay, you'll be the first one to know. If I change my mind, you will know first. But until then, just know I love you. And if I miss it a time or two, hey, we'll make it. Well, I found out that didn't work, okay? I found out that didn't work. My own understanding says that makes no sense to me. I mean, she's the love of my life. She's everything to me. I'm a one-woman man. I'm totally committed and totally loyal to my wife, okay? So why can't she just get it, okay? It doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make any sense to you? So here's what I can do. I can try to ignore it. I can try to change her. That goes a long ways, okay? Or you know what? I can trust God that there's a reason that he only commands me to love my wife. And never even one time commands her to love me. God tells her to respect me. To respect me. Why? Because that's my biggest need. And ladies, you might think, well, you just need to grow up. And you know what? You're probably right. But you told us that, remember in third grade out there on the play ball field, and we were at that recess, and you were like a foot taller than us, and you were more mature, and you kept telling us that we need to grow up. Well, let me announce to you something today. We haven't, okay? We haven't grown up. Okay, we haven't grown up. We have an ego. We're touchy. We're sensitive. You just need to embrace that and quit trying to change us. Just do your part. Okay? Just do your part. It's going to take some faith because it doesn't make any sense to you. It doesn't make any sense to you. This is a step of faith in your life. Number three. We wrap up. Who should first make the love and respect connection? A lot of you are at a stalemate today. You're looking for that 50-50. You're looking for you do your part, I'll do my part. I'll do my part, you do your part. And when a wife feels unloved, it's very hard to respect her husband. Let's face it. And when a husband feels disrespected, it's very hard to love his wife. The Bible even says a brother offended, it's harder to be one than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So what can we do? Number one, guys, here's what I think we need to do. The husband should make the first move. You say, why me? Why not you? God's giving you spiritual headship in that home. That's what, if there's a problem in this church, it's my job to step up and deal with it, okay? Because I'm the spiritual head of this church under Jesus Christ. Okay, God is giving you a place of responsibility, a covering, if you will, in your marriage. And we need to step up. Joshua 24:15 says this. Joshua says at the last part there, I'll just read that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now notice where it starts. Me. Me is going to serve the Lord. Me is going to love her. Okay. Me is going to love her. And in doing that, I'm going to do my best to hopefully get this connection going again. Okay? Or maybe it's never gone. But I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to love my wife regardless. If she never respects me, I'm going to love her like Christ loved the church. But the truth is that might not work. So the second thing is the most spiritually mature is the one that's got to get it going. Ladies, I have to tell you, I wish I could say differently, but you may be more mature than him. You may be more like Jesus than him. See, Jesus, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. See, it was Jesus who made the connection with us. And spiritual maturity is being like Jesus. It's being like Jesus. And the one who makes the connection is the mature one. The mature one. And ladies, your husband just might not be mature enough to do this. And you're going to have to step up and do it. But either way, you got to do it because God's called you to respect your husband. But the point is, if you're in a stalemate today, and I bet at least half of you are, okay? Maybe 75% are sitting here right now, okay? Somebody's got to break that stalemate. Somebody's got to get that connection moving. I love that image on the video showing the circle moving. Somebody's got to get that image moving. Here's our yay marriage phrase we're going to repeat every week. Yay marriage requires losing the I and adding the we. Can I summarize it any better than that? Yay marriage ultimately requires losing the I and adding the we. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let's pray. Father, you're great and mighty God, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the word of God. Thank you for providing it for us today. God, help us to now meditate on what's been said that we might do it and be successful in our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen.